Doopley doopley doo. It's the news according to me. Well, here I am once again living the life of a homeless individual. Not to belittle what it's like to live as a homeless individual, but I'm living in my car at the moment. Once again, doing a broadcast from my car, I guess I should say. Not living in my car, but I'm alive, and I'm in my car. I guess that would mean I'm living in my car. I guess technically that's how that works, isn't it? I'm not dead in my car. Not yet. Now, I'm not driving. I want to be really clear. I'm in a parking lot. The car is parked. And I'm waiting for this Cracker Barrel to open up in front of me. I've already drank my hot chocolate for the day. Well, my first hot chocolate for the day. And I'm pretty sure that Cracker Barrel used to be open in this time zone at 6 a.m. And it's, of course, it's not 6 a.m. here. It's 7 a.m. It's 7, actually it's 7:35 here in this, on the East Coast time, Eastern Standard Time. However, I am no longer in Eastern Standard Time. I am in Central Time because everybody seems to think that they get to have their own time, I guess. I just had a discussion with my nephew this morning about time in general and how we should just eliminate it because it really messes things up. Makes you have to report at certain times. You know, flights have to leave at certain times. Things open and close at certain times. It just gets in the way of life, you know. If we didn't have this clock thing to deal with, it's all relative anyway. Time is all relative. I now want to identify as a timeless being. I hereby declare and decree time does not exist. Which it really, you know, time is really, it's a construct of how we see the universe. There's really no time. Time is not really a thing. We're living in eternity right now. We are living in eternity. However, we have to live out this thing we call time. That's my take on it. Now, I know that there are probably scientists and relativists out there and all these people out there with big brains, big fat brains, that have it all figured out. But I don't have a big fat brain. I barely have a brain, but I've got it. So therefore, in my world, my little brain world here, I can come up with my own, you know, philosophy of how I exist. So here I am. Here we are. Welcome to the show. This is commercial free, and content free as well. But you know, I was listening to a show this morning. I'm not going to say what the name of the show was. All I can say is it rhymes with coast to coast. And the show comes on, of course. Now the first half hour, at the top of the hour, you have the news, you know, on this radio station. So the news is playing, and then you have, and it gets done about 6 minutes past the hour, 6 or 7 minutes, right in there, somewhere past the hour. It comes back to the show, and the show has about a 2 minute long bumper music thing. And it's basically just somebody else's song. It's not even a song they came up with. It's someone else's song they play. And then it comes, and then after the bumper song, there's a commercial. Now, it wasn't a bad commercial, but it was a commercial. That lasted about a minute and a half. Then the guy who runs the show, is it Art Bell or somebody? I don't know what. This other guy comes on. The guy who is the you know, the co-host, like me, like me. It'd be like me coming on the show, but it wasn't me because I'm not on that show. But he comes on and he starts the show by reading another commercial. It's his sponsor, you know, his. Which is fine. That's great. Great. I'm glad the guys got a sponsor. Got a national broadcast. Nationally syndicated broadcast. And for the first 18 minutes of the hour, there was no content. Much like this show. We are now 3 minutes in and I haven't said anything. Other than to say, it's a commercial-free it's a commercial-free podcast. So instead of having commercial, I just talk about myself. I would rather, you know, which I would rather know. I'd rather that the guy comes on and just chats about what kind of tea he's drinking or coffee he has or what kind of creamer he puts in his coffee instead of having to listen to all the drivel and make it sound like it's this hyped up show. There's no hype here, by golly. That's for sure. This is the anti-hype podcast. So in my opinion, in 1 hour of this show, or half hour, this morning you're going to get about 35 minutes, because Cracker Barrel opens here in a little bit. And then I've got to find a place to upload this to the internet, because apparently there's no Wi-Fi here. And I got to figure out how to do that. So I've got to do that. I don't see a McDonald's. Oh, there is a McDonald's over there. Maybe I can use their Wi-Fi. Actually, McDonald's has a pretty fast Wi-Fi, actually, most of the time, I've found. So I may do that. But the goal here in this show this morning is to talk about a few things. I guess there has been a little scuffle, a little kerfuffle, if you will, between some world leaders and the Biden administration. Things are not going swimmingly. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's no communication, apparently, between the Biden administration and North Korea. Now, before Trump got elected, I got to hand it to the guy. Before he got elected, all we heard about from the Hillary Clinton administration, the would-be, that never was, Hillary Clinton organization, all we heard about was that North Korea was a threat, and that's probably where the next place we were going to go to war. I mean, they were beating the drums about North Korea. And everybody thought, this is it, this is where we're going to go, this is what's going to happen. Here we go. Somehow, I don't know how these little guys, this little hermit nation, is somehow, we're at war with them now. But that was the talk. That was the talk of the town. That's what was happening. And I'm laughing because I just saw some people walk up to the door at the Cracker Barrel here, thinking that they were going to get in. Walked up and yanked on the door, and the guy's arm just about came off because it's locked. It is locked up. So, anyway, what was I talking about? The Hermit Nation, which I'm pretty sure that North Korea actually invented Cracker Barrel. I'm not positive on that. That you might want to Snopes that, because I'm not. Oh, now they drove. Holy cow! Now he just drove over the curb. A curb that has a bunch of little poles on it to mark. Wow, I don't know why they allow people like that to have nice cars. That was a pretty nice car that he just drove over the. Wow, that's. How did he not see that? And why wouldn't you wait 15 minutes for the place to open up? You're going to wait 15 minutes at any other restaurant you go to. Anyway, I digress. Just giving you the rundown here of what's going on in my life. So. I have to hand it to Trump on this one, because he came into office. Next thing you know, he's in the demilitarized zone, walking around with the leader. The relationship between him and I'm just going to call him the leader, Kim Jong Il or whatever his name is. He could pick up the phone and talk to this guy. Now, whether or not, you know. And of course, the news media, this made the news media's heads pop off, because they couldn't stand the fact that our, you know, what they looked at it as something bad. This is terrible. Yeah, it would have been much better for us to just be dropping bombs on them. That would have been much better, I'm sure. That wouldn't have been a problem. So, now, I guess, the current administration, whoever that may be, is having a little bit of a problem with North Korea. North Korea is doesn't have a whole lot of respect for this particular individual in the White House right now. What's going on in the White House? And also, not only that, a much more major issue. What used to be a buddy of the left is now, of course, after the Russia gate thing, that hoax, farce. Now all of a sudden, Russia is the enemy, and of course, Biden made a comment. I didn't hear this. I heard it. I didn't know about it until I heard about this whole story. Apparently, Biden in the interview with George Stephanopoulos, heavily edited, by the way. I've heard some of the clips and seen some of the things that were in the interview that got edited out. Oh my word. There's a couple things I want to talk about that whole thing. Anyway, so he in this interview, apparently he said that Putin is a killer who has no soul. A soulless killer or something to that effect. That's not a direct quote. Basically saying that he was soulless and he's a killer. Now, Putin, who has all of his faculties, he's getting to be a pretty old man, actually. I'm not sure how old Putin is. Interesting to find out. Maybe I'll find out here while I'm talking. But I can do two things at the same time, unlike our current president. I can actually do two things at once at the same time. In fact, I'm doing three things right now. I've got a search going on, and I've got another thing going on there. And I'm doing a little thing. I'm doing two different. I got like 12 different tabs up here on my search engine. So, just to give you an idea of the amount of information being cast about here. The other thing I wanted to look at was what was I going to look at? How old Putin is. So anyway, Putin makes this comment, and it's pretty good. He kind of trolls him a little bit. Says some things about, well, first, he just flat out calls it out his dementia. But he also says that the first comment he said about the killing, he said, a soulless killer. He said, well, it takes one to know one. That's just a timeless comeback, basically. I don't like Putin. Okay, let me put it that way. As a world leader, I think he's a dictator, and I would not want to live in Russia. Let's put it that way. Under his reign, I would not endorse the man as president. Okay. But, excuse me. It makes the point of how incompetent this administration is. How much of a lack of respect that other nations have for the individual in the White House. And of course, he calls him out and says, I think it would be good for the nations of the world and for our people to have a live debate online, for us to debate each other online, live. I think that would be good. And of course, he kind of calls him out on that. And then he said something about his dementia and that kind of thing. And of course he's... So Putin is 68 years old. He's a 68-year-old man. That's fairly old, really. What is that, 10 years younger than Biden? Whatever that is. I'll find out. I guess I can find that out, too. Putin got into office at a fairly young age. I think he was in his 40s, I think, when he started. And there are people well into their 70s, well into their 80s, who are... Why did that go there? That's kind of weird. Yes, he's 78 years old. There's a 10-year difference between the two. Now, having said that, with him being 78 and Putin is 68, there are people I know that are well into their 70s and even into their 80s who have their faculties and their abilities that are well beyond Joe. Now, I also saw this. I can't remember the guy's name right now. He's got a YouTube channel, and I listen to it occasionally. He's a little bit vulgar, some of the things he says. But I appreciate the guy's genuineness because the things that he shares are just kind of the raw truth of things. He does a very good job of that. And he's definitely of a... occasionally I listen to Jimmy Dore. For those of you who don't know who Jimmy Dore is, Jimmy Dore is a definite leftist with regard to... And he's a progressive, I would say, to the point of he's a People's Party type Democrat socialist. He's a comedian, but he calls himself a comedian, but he's very political comedy type person. He was more or less a Bernie Sanders type supporter. However, he's in terms of philosophy. However, he's not such a big supporter of Bernie, and with regard to the way Bernie they don't like the fact that Bernie caves on everything. He's basically an establishment individual parading around as a democratic socialist. That's his bent. Bernie Sanders has never actually had a real job in terms of any kind of anything productive. He basically lived on his parents' dole until he was about in his 30s, and he ran for Senate, I think, or whatever he did. So I think somehow he got into politics. Never really had a job, never had a business, never did anything. Of course, when he started writing books, he made a bunch of money. He's like, oh, well, it's, That's what I do. I wrote a book. That's okay. Let's get to write a book. Make a bunch of money. Then, he bought he inherited one house bought another house as a summer camp. I have a summer camp upstate New York. I got a summer camp. A lot of people have summer camps. Thousands of people have summer camps. Well, thousands of people are millionaires, Bernie, but you don't seem to like that. Well, now that he's a millionaire, he's not. No, it used to be millionaires. He would say millionaires and billionaires. Millionaires and billionaires. We got to tax them. Then he became a millionaire. Now he says billionaires. You'll never hear him talk about millionaires and billionaires. It's billionaires. I kid you not. His speech changed overnight when he got the book deal and made $1 million. It was, I mean, not just $1 million. It was many millions of dollars, multi-million dollars. So, jeez. Well, inflation, inflation. And now everybody's going to have, if you raise the minimum wage, everybody's going to be a millionaire. And so you can only go after the billionaires. And now we have some trillionaires out there, so we have to go after them. So, I digress. So the interesting thing of this whole thing, where did I start with this conversation? So this guy, back to my what I was talking about with Joe Biden, this whole thing. Oh, wait, I have sweet tea right here. I'm just going to take a sip because my throat is feeling a little dry. The interesting thing that was hilarious about this, what this guy presented, and I'm not going to mention his name because I can't think of his name right at the moment. I think his first name is John, but I can't think of his last name. He has this YouTube channel, and he puts out something about every other day or so, about every day. And a very deep thinking kind of guy. He puts stuff together that I would never think of. He has this whole montage of Joe Biden walking around, especially in the last week. Now, he has noticed, it's interesting to me that he also has noticed the way Joe Biden walks now. Because cognitive ability and your ability to walk and talk, the two things that show a lot of issues with coordination and ability to put patterns together and those kinds of things. Speech and walking and just general coordination have a lot to do with your cognitive ability. And I don't know I'm not a doctor, of course. If I was a doctor, this would be a very different podcast. But there may not even be a podcast. Chances are there would probably be a podcast, but it would be produced by professionals, and it would actually have some kind of pertinent content. But see, that's a whole lot of work, and that just goes against my philosophy of life. So that's why I'm sitting in a car recording this in a parking lot. That's where my philosophy of life will get you. So I have this guy. So he puts this whole montage together, and it's C-3PO from Star Wars. And you know how C-3PO walked in that movie, in the Star Wars thing. He had like this kind of weird walking thing he would do, where his elbows and arms didn't really move, you know. And then he puts together clips that go back and forth between C-3PO and Joe Biden. The resemblance in terms of the way they walk is uncanny. I don't know. I would not have ever thought of this. And he puts this together. Go watch some video of C-3PO walking and going up and down steps and doing things, and then watch some clips of Joe Biden walking around on the Capitol lawn, going out to the helicopter, trying to find his way around. It is eerily similar. And this goes back to, and I've mentioned this before, Joe used to walk normal. And now, when he walks, he has a very, it's almost, I call it the shuffle that people develop when they start to lose their cognitive ability. And I've talked about this before, but in the physics of walking, this is something that I learned in high school that I've never forgotten because I was so fascinated by it. I had an Algebra 2 teacher. My Algebra 1 teacher, who was also the physics teacher for the high school. And occasionally he would break off into a little physics snippet. And unfortunately, that's the way I learn, because I have a lot of ADD issues. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. I have some ADD issues. And of course, that back in the 70s, they didn't know what ADD was. They were just starting to theorize on some of this attention deficit stuff. All they knew to treat ADD at that time was spankings. I didn't get any, which I think would have helped me. Maybe. I may have turned out to be a serial killer too. I don't know. You never know. Because apparently that's That's what happens, apparently, when kids get spanked. Apparently, it ruins them for the rest of their lives. They become violent individuals. Back in the 70s, most of those kids that I grew up with, 90% of us got spanked. And I would think that the whole class would have turned out to be terrible people, but that's not the case. I think only the ones that didn't get spanked, actually, are the ones that turned out to be the troubled individuals later in life. So, and we didn't have very many. There was only about one or two that probably have issues. There's probably more than two. Probably three or four that have some issues. But I think they were going to have issues anyway. So, but I digress. Hopefully none of them are listening to this broadcast and know who I am. But I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna press on here. I'm not gonna get bogged down with that. So, what was I talking about? Let's just move on to the next subject, because this whole thing of spankings and how kids act. But back in the 70s, nobody knew what ADD was, and that's what I grew up with. Now, nowadays, of course, I still have ADD, which is why I'm off on a tangent at the moment. I'm proving it right now, proving it as I speak. So this guy, it's very interesting that they put all this together with this C-3PO thing. You get a chance to do that. Just take a look at it and see what you find, because it is uncanny. It's uncanny the way that all went together. What else is in the news? There's got to be some other things in the news. I'm just sure there is. I don't know what it might be. And since I don't have internet with me right now, I would like to talk about a few other things. One of the things I talked about. Oh, this is. Getting back to my other subject, I did speak about this earlier. The physics of walking. When you walk, you are falling forward and catching yourself. In other words, it's fascinating, because if you think about it, what you're doing is you're leaning forward and allowing your body to fall forward, and then you're catching yourself with each step. Now, it's believed that the reason, like, have you ever had a dream where you were trying to run, but you just couldn't get any traction? Like, you were kind of floating, like, I'm trying to run, but I can't really run because I can't get any traction. There's something interesting that's going on there with your brain. In your dream, you're trying to run. However, because of the fact that your cognitive mind understands that you're not moving, therefore you can't run, because you're not falling forward, you're not moving forward, and all of your the cues that you would normally get in your equilibrium are not reacting, not responding. They're sitting still, and therefore your brain is not getting the normal cues of running or walking, and it feels like you can't move. So it's like you're trying to run, and you're kind of imagining that feeling, but you're not getting the normal cues in your brain that you're actually running, and so you're not running. And if you did get those cues, you would literally be running. Now, I know a guy who, he had some issues when he would get under stress. He would... in fact, this was a guy who was in a class I was going through my airline training. When you get hired by an airline, you go through all kinds of ground school, and then you go through procedural training, and then you go through systems training, and you have all these different training things you go through, and then you go into the simulator. Once you've learned all these, all the stuff, and you get it all put together, there's the company stuff, and there's the procedural stuff, the FAA stuff. So you go through all this stuff. And it's pretty stressful during all this stuff, because if you don't make it through class, you get washed out, or you can get washed out. Some companies will wash you out. Some classes are trying to wash you out, or some companies, they used to try to weed you out. They had a pass-fail thing. They didn't do that so much anymore. They just would hire people and just train you until they could get you trained because they were so short on pilots that they couldn't just start throwing people away. If you had any possibility of making it through, they would train you to get you, you know, if you had one little struggle in a particular area, they would work with you on that. So now they, I don't know what's going to happen now, but so this guy was under a lot of stress, and apparently he was in, of course, you're living in a hotel while you're going through this if you don't live in your domicile. And he was going through this training, and apparently he got so stressed out that he had this thing where he woke up in the middle of the night standing on his, well, he didn't actually wake up, that's the problem. He was still sleeping, and his brain connected with his dream, and he ran off the bed into a wall in the middle of the night. That's what happens when your brain goes ahead and connects with that dream, and your legs start actually moving and you start running. And of course, he was still dreaming that he was somewhere else and didn't realize there was a wall in front of him. Of course, it was the middle of the night. It was, you know, of course, it's dark in there. Even if his eyes were open, he couldn't have seen anything. So it's just interesting that cognitive connection is made there. Now, with Joe, when that equilibrium thing starts to disconnect and the synapses in the boutons don't work right, what ends up happening is you start losing touch with that ability to understand that you're falling forward and you're catching yourself. So your steps become shorter and you become a little bit less, you walk with more trepidation. You have this kind of a step that's not, you're kind of reaching out and feeling for what's in front of you with your foot because you're having to be more deliberate about it. When a normal person walks, you kind of have this ability to walk in a cadence that is just, it's just a natural thing. You don't even think about it. It's like breathing. You don't have to think about it. You just walk. When that walking becomes more deliberate, it starts to become a little bit more of a shuffle. And he's doing that now. And I've mentioned that before because his cognitive abilities are getting less and less. So as you start to watch Joe more in the future, now we're coming up, we're like less than a week away from the clown show. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but there's been a lot of pressure on Joe to do a solo press conference because he doesn't do them. Now there's another creepy event that happened, and this is really weird. Where, I don't know if you've seen this or not yet, it's been all over the internet because it was on national news. But they didn't talk about it on national news. This was a national newscast thing that the White House put out, which is what's weird about it. The White House put this out where he walks up to reporters and they ask him some questions. You can't hear what's going on because there's so much background noise. It sounds like the helicopter is in the background. But you don't see the helicopter. He's got a mask on, so you can't tell if his mouth is moving in time with what's being said, of course. So he walks up to these reporters, and they ask him something about, can you give us a statement on the border or something, it's a question. And he says, no, not right now, or something to that effect. No statements right now. As his hands are reaching out towards the reporters to talk, there is what obviously looks like green screen on his arms and his background. There's a whole bunch of CGI going on. And the microphones that are kind of bouncing around in front of the cameras on the bottom of the screen, all of a sudden his arms are on top of the microphones. It is the creepiest thing. It is weird what's going on there. Get a chance to see it. There, it's like, what is going on? There's just some creepy stuff going on. Now, as the day goes on, I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to have some time today to kind of do some more examining and digging into the news, what's going on. And as time goes on, we're going to have to end the show here now because Cracker Barrel's opening up. But, and I've got to serve the belly. But it's I'm going to try to dig into some more things and see what's going on. But yes, we will have a show this afternoon. I'll have a little bit more information. So enjoy your day. This is Friday, last day of the week. Have a great day. God bless. We'll talk more about this later on after I've had some breakfast. That's all it is. Take care.